Blog Talk Radio.
Today's broadcast of Imperfect Wives Radio. We are so excited that you have taken the time to join us this morning. I am here live with you. My name is Cherie Zack, and I am the co-host with the beautiful, incredible, talented, gifted, and loving Rebecca LeCompte.
Oh, Cherie, we are going to have to trade places next week, and I'm going to get you.
You're going to get me.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to just bless your socks off, woman. What a blessing it is to be here together.
Yes.
You know, this is one of my, this is one of my favorite days of the week. I love to be here with you and with our listeners. And so whatever day it is that you're listening, because we know most of you are listening by podcast, either through iTunes or just straight through Blog Talk Radio, I hope you're having an awesome Jesus-filled day today, because we are having one here right now.
Yes.
It's just so good.
It is. So how are you doing, Rebecca?
You know, I'm awake, which is a good thing.
You're
I've
awake.
Got a cup of coffee, and I've got two cups filled with cherry, blueberry, spinach, almond smoothie that is too cold to drink, but it will sit here and warm up. And
yes,
so life is good, and I got my taxes done yesterday. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I have never waited until the very last day, which is awful to say. So if you are like me and you were doing them yesterday, I hope that today is a good day for you. It was good.
Amen.
It was good. So that's how I am.
Well, amen. If you're listening for the first time, you are listening to Imperfect Wives Radio with Rebecca and Cherie. And Rebecca is joining us from the East Coast, which is why she's
The West Coast.
I mean, the West Coast, which is why, again, we are the imperfect wife, which is why she is, it's very early for her. It's only 7 a.m. her time. And, of course, I am, like I said, joining you on the East Coast where it is 10 a.m. and I have definitely had more time to wake up and get my body moving than Rebecca has. Yesterday we had an opportunity to hang out, literally, out on Google Plus with one of my my dearest friends, a friend that has been supporting me and encouraging me for the last 3 years as a women's director for the Assemblies of God. And she's doing an incredible job leading the women in Washington and her other area. And we were talking while we were both in training, and sent us an email and was like, Cherie, why don't you join us on our training? And so you and I had an opportunity for the first time to hang out with the women in Washington, and Angela can give us more information about her area. But we had an incredible time just talking about marriage and talking about some of the issues that we face, as wives today. And God inspired us, and there was so much more to say, so we are continuing that conversation here this morning with our sweet Angela Craig. Rebecca, I know you have some things that you want to share.
I do. I haven't known Angela as long as you have, but you know how you just instantly connect with people. That's how I feel about Angela. She is amazing, and she's out here on the West Coast. So I'm thinking,
she is.
That's not too terribly far compared to going back to the East Coast. We may just have to figure out how to get together. And I know that Kim Brooks is going to be back in Washington State soon in that area. So we just may have to do something sooner rather than later. But Angela has been married for 15 years. Just so you know, we always like to talk about how long our guests have been married so you get an idea. She has two sons who are one's preteen, one's a teenager. So she knows what it's like to be a mom and go through some of that stuff with kids, and she has a bachelor's degree, and I think I had it pulled up at one point. And she's working on her master's degree in organizational leadership. She is an ordained pastor, and she is just an amazing woman. So we're so glad that you're going to get to know Angela with us this morning. Anything else, Sheree?
No, I think you did a beautiful job. Angela, welcome.
Well, thank you. I am so excited to be here this morning. So hello, ladies, and I'm very excited to be joining you from the Seattle area. And, yes, I'm the director of the Northwest Ministry Network, and we have 350 churches here in Washington, northern Idaho, that I have the privilege to serve. And we love to encourage and equip women, and that's what we do. And so it's just such an exciting thing for me to release women into ministry wherever God's called them, whether in the backyard to minister to a neighbor or on the podium. So we reach far and wide to help women, and I just love it. Every day is exciting. Every day is a Friday. So
I love that. Every day is a Friday.
Every day is a Friday. So it's good. So thank you for inviting me. This is my first radio show, so that everybody gets to experience a first with me today. So thank you for putting up with me if, you know, I say what, ooh, like a million times. So you're learning with me.
You're fine. We do the same. Well, Rebecca doesn't usually, but Sheree does. So I'm working on the and the ooh and the. But, you know, the thing about the Imperfect Wives is we are just real. And, you know, we've been doing this for over 2 years, and our listeners know that we are completely honest, we are transparent, and we are real. So if we say a few too many times, I think they get it. So I think you're safe.
Absolutely.
That is good to know, and that I think that's one of the things I really enjoy and appreciate about both of you, is I knew that from day one, is that I could trust that you were exactly who you presented yourself to be, so I appreciate that about you.
Well, after you and I stayed in a hotel for a week together, I don't think you can we won't talk about that, but I don't think you can get any closer than that, can you?
That's true. That is true. And we still love each other even more.
Rebecca and I have had the opportunity to do the same a few times. We actually get time each year around September to spend a few days in a hotel, and she stays with me in my home. And unfortunately for Rebecca, she gets even more of the real Sheree. But that's usually because when Rebecca comes, she always comes to help me with my state conference. And so she sees the stressful Sheree. She sees the excited Sheree. You know, she's the one that brings me back down to the ground. She has to peel me off the ceiling a few times. Anyway, not really, just saying that it's actually true. But it's, and you know, Angela, it's a lot to put on a conference. I mean, you have 3 times the amount of churches I do. You've got, I have about 112. You have over 300. So I can only imagine the challenges that you face each year with yours, which actually leads right into marriage, because each of us, Rebecca's a pastor's wife, her husband's a chaplain, so they're pastoring a church. And when I say they're pastoring a church, I mean they're actually pastoring the chapel. And so they get calls even, you know, late at night. So she's dealing with it, and she's a mom. My husband's not a pastor, but, you know, but I'm in ministry, so we're dealing with it. You guys are dealing with it. And all of these challenges that rise up, they can really challenge a marriage. And I love today's title for the show, you know, because we're talking about every girl's Cinderella dream and finding her Prince Charming.
Yes.
I love that too.
Yeah. And Angela, that was something that you shared with us yesterday on the Hangout with Your Women. Will you share that with our audience, please?
Oh, of course. Well, we were talking about, it actually started with me, because my favorite movie of all times when I was growing up was Cinderella. And I don't know how many of you When You Were Little, watched that show, and if I'm honest, it really is still my favorite movie. So I just absolutely love it. I love the idea. I actually blogged about it after our talk yesterday. But I love the idea of the prince and the castle and some really cute glass slippers. Like, that would be, you know, your happy ever after. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? But in reality, how many of us have found out that maybe life is not what you expected it to be in your marriage? And so we talked about sometimes you think you've married a prince, or maybe you're not married yet and you'd like to marry that prince. And so we had a wonderful conversation about that. And so I really appreciated, and the ladies of our area appreciated the insight and the counsel that you gave them yesterday.
Well, it was so fun to do that with you. You know, doing the hangout is just a little different than doing radio. I am not looking like I was yesterday on that hangout. But it's good, because here we are together talking again about that Prince Charming idea, the Cinderella story. And I was talking with Robert about it, ladies, and I haven't had a chance to share that with you. But I was telling him about it because, of course, he was home yesterday. It was his day off, and he was wanting to know how it went and hear all about it. And I could see that flicker of recognition in his eyes of that, relating to the Cinderella story. And what the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit said to me as I was watching his face was that, you know, every man longs to be that Prince Charming. It's not mm-hmm. just us girls who want to be mm-hmm. Cinderella, but men have those ideas of being, you know, the knight in shining armor who's going to rush in on the white horse and rescue the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, for them, when we don't, you know, life sets in too for them, and they don't always get to live out that part of what they desire in marriage. But with God, we have the opportunity to have that happily ever after ending that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about the story of Leah in a little bit. So remind me, there is a part of that chivalrous, how do you say that word?
That was good.
The man who comes to the rescue, Jacob, is that man in the beginning of the story of Leah and Rachel. And so there's a perfect example that proves your point right there, even biblically, of what a man will do when he is enamored with a woman, and how God really desirous for us to have that in a relationship. So I'm excited to talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, Cherie, I think we should open with some prayer this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
It is time.
Okay.
For those of you that are in the chat room, you know what to do. Put your praying hands up. And if you are listening live, or even, you know, not live and you're driving, we like to remind you, don't put your hands up. Don't close your eyes. Because we've had a few listeners that went to do that and then realized that they couldn't do that. So, you know, make sure that you're safe, and let's go to the Lord.
Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we love you. We worship you and adore you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is none like you in all the earth. Lord, we thank you for today. We say that this is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We choose to set our minds on the blessings that you have poured out upon us. Lord, we choose to focus on you and the promises that you have given us in your word. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins, who made it possible for us to have relationship with you and spend eternity with you. Lord, we thank you that he came to give us abundant life. And Lord, part of that abundant life is having that happily ever after marriage that we daydream about, that we desire. Lord, we thank you that you have a plan and a way for us to get from where we are to that happily ever after. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that you don't withhold that wisdom, but you give it to us liberally. And you don't, You don't judge us or criticize us or hold it against us. You just pour out your wisdom. You're pouring out your love. You're not measuring it out a little bit at a time, Lord. We are so grateful that you're not rationing your great love for us, but you're pouring it out, overflowing into our lives, overflowing our hearts so that we can share your love with those around us. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we surrender the rest of this time together and we say, have your way in us. Mold us and shape us and make us more like Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. We believe that we receive all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All righty. Well, you know, I'm so excited that Angela's here because as we were talking yesterday and we were talking about marriage and we were talking about Cinderella, we had a little bus analogy from Angela's grandmother, which I love. And then we were talking about the Bible study that Angela wrote on Leah. And it is amazing. I've had a chance to sort of skim it, and I am just blown away. I can't wait for an opportunity to dive in and really study it, Angela. It looks so good.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, thank you for sharing it. We just so appreciate that. But the word that you kept coming back to was expectations. That seems to be a watchword for you in your life,
mm-hmm.
expectations. Mm-hmm. So I just tell us a little bit about that.
I think that I have just come to understand in my life that I have in my past, and even I catch myself on a daily basis lowering my expectations to meet my reality instead of raising my expectations to meet the promises of God. And that really comes out of our past experiences, our childhood, the feedback we've had from other people, what people have told us about ourselves or what we've told ourselves about ourselves. And so it comes out of our belief systems. And so we have to change our beliefs about ourselves and to match what God says about us and about our marriages and about our purpose in our life. And so expectation is really a big thing that I manage in my present day and my future. And so when I read the story of Leah and actually heard our general superintendent talk about it at a council meeting, I was completely inspired because this was a woman whose life was not at all what she expected it to be, but in the end, it unbelievable what God did with her story. And so I just sat down and God just really gave me the words to say, this is a story in the Old Testament that you read, and it's a few paragraphs of a person's life, and you think, right now I'm 40, actually the three of us are 44 years old, hopefully that's okay, I divulge that, but we're all really young, but still, 44 years you would not squeeze into three or four paragraphs,
right?
And so it's amazing to me that God could write her story with such an incredible ending. And so anyways, I encourage you to read it for yourself, and I think we'll be reading a little bit. But if you read every one of God's stories with a lens of seeing what his expectation for their lives was and then how much he wants that for your own life, it really changes our perspective of our futures and our present-day reality as well.
Yes.
And that was what was exciting about yesterday when we were done with our hangout, and then we kept talking about it, that it's such an amazing discussion to have. So it's going to be great to talk about it today.
It is, Cherie. I know you're wanting to jump in and say something. I can feel it.
Well, I wanted to, for those that did not get an opportunity to watch the hangout yet yesterday, Angela, could you share with us, and I don't want to mess up your grandmother's name, could you share with us the Mangini rule? Did I say it right?
Mangini, yes.
Mini-Guinea. Okay.
My grandma, Mini-Guinea. So when I was younger and I was dating, I didn't have a lot of direction. My family, first of all, for everyone's reference, is not Christian. And my husband and I were really the first Christians out of the gate. My grandma would go to church on Easter and Christmas. And so a woman of belief, but not Christian faith, not a probably a Bible study woman, but she was a wise woman. And so my grandma Mini-Guinea watched me date some frogs. And so she said to me one day, "Ange, when you decide you're going to take the bus, do you just get on any bus?" And I thought to myself, well, that is an obvious answer. No, I don't. I find out what my plan is, where I want to go, and then I find out what the bus number is and what route I need to take, and I get on the right bus that's going to take me to my destination. Well, I think you ladies know where I'm going with this. What she was telling me is that before I just dated anyone, I needed to know that they were going the same direction and on the same route as I was going. And I had not been doing that. I was kind of picking the flashy free bus. And you know the ones. So
yeah.
Really fun and cute. And so she had me sit down and actually make a list of attributes of the man that I saw in my future. And I would say for those that are listening that would be in for you, including prayer and scripture, because you want that man to be a biblically sound person that God is the one driving the bus, that not one, he isn't driving and you're not driving, and that you're staying on the bus together regardless of the detours you take in your lives, because there will be many of those unexpected ventures. And so that's the rule.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Can you, and I'm kind of catching, I might catch off guard with this one because we didn't talk about it, but you said something really important. You said he's not driving and you're not driving, you're riding together. But there are some wives that are driving. Can you share with us maybe a story about when you knew that you were driving the bus and kind of leaving your husband behind?
Well, let's see. I have driven the bus in my submissiveness of saying yes to everything my husband said, and I have And I have also driven the bus by becoming bitter in not pursuing the call that God had in my life, and then just jumping in full force and saying, having the "what have you done for me lately" attitude. And so I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it. So I've gone kind of two different directions. And I would say that extreme is probably never a positive thing. I'm not sure if I'm answering you exactly, but those are the two opposites that I've tried. And so never in partnership and in mutual submission with my husband. And so now we've met in the middle, and it really is, it doesn't work perfectly all the time, but what we found in mutual submission and love for one another and respect for each other's call that God has on our lives is really made our marriage, it's hugely different than what we were trying to do before. So in the beginning of our relationship, that "what have you done for me lately?" and "okay, now I'm tired of you because, you know, you're not meeting my expectation." And then that, "okay, well, maybe if I just do everything he wants me to and say everything he wants me to say, and then maybe that will work." That didn't work, going the opposite direction. So those are my two extremes.
So what happened? What did God say something to you? Did you have, you know, a moment of awakening, so to speak? What can you think of what changed your thoughts in that area and share that with us?
Sure. Well, honestly, it's a Bible study. So there's no magic rule, ladies. For sure, you have to study the Bible and also being in conversation with wise women. And that has, and then having other examples of people that are, have healthy marriages. Those are the examples that I've had. And so it's really important that you study the Bible and apply it, and that you have other examples of people that have healthy marriages. So, and also I've gone to counseling. That's been really helpful for me. And my counselor calls himself a coach. So that is definitely, he says, I'm definitely more of a coach than a counselor, which men tend to love that title, coach, more than counselor. And we talked about that yesterday, how a lot of people think that taking care of your mental health is not, you know, it's not important, or especially men, they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. But coaching is very popular right now. So it's, that's one avenue I would definitely take and recommend. And so all those things put together has made a huge difference, because when you get married, you don't necessarily have a lot of tools in your toolbox. And if you did not have premarital counseling, which sometimes is only 6 weeks, you don't know what to do. So you have to get help. It's kind of like you think about a neurosurgeon. You're not going to let a neurosurgeon operate on your head if they have not been to medical school for a good 10 years. So it's the same thing, is you need to study God's word to be able to have a strong marriage, because that's the biblical basis of where marriage was created. So you need to go to the source to find out what he wants for your marriage. And it really does work when two people are willing to put the energy in. So that's my advice.
Amen. Rebecca, yeah, I know you have a question. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I really am feeling like we need to jump into the story of Leah, which is in Genesis chapter 29, is where it starts. Because talk about expectations and not having them met. Leah.
Right?
So, you know, what I'd love for you to do for us, Angela, is take us into the story, set the stage for us, and then I want you to read to us the portion that you, you know, want to pull out, so we can get into that story and see how that applies to our lives today.
Okay, and I think we're going to let God pick out what part he wants to pull out, but there's several things in here. And ladies, I just wanted you to know that if you go on Amazon today, you can get the story of Leah for free on Kindle today. So that's the Imperfect Wives promo for today. So please tell your friends about it. So you just go to Amazon.com and just type in the story of Leah and it will come up. So that's for you today. So I'm excited to share that with you. And actually, the Bible study is quite different than what we'll talk about today. So just so you know, I tried to incorporate it, but it's just not going to happen. But one thing that Rebecca shared earlier was how a man wants to be that prince. And I won't read this whole section, but I did want to make mention of this because I think it's important. When Jacob sees Rachel for the first time, it's at a watering hole where the shepherds would bring the sheep. And what happens is, in the story, is that the shepherds are bringing the sheep, and Jacob says, why are you not watering your sheep? Because it's very warm out. And so and the shepherds say, well, we need all the shepherds here to be able to pull away this giant rock to be able to access the water. And so he kind of says, okay, well, wait then, I guess. You know, I'm inferring in the story, of course, but he doesn't do anything about the rock. Well, then Rachel comes along and he sees her, and she has sheep that need to be watered, and he immediately loves her, and he becomes incredibly strong and pushes away the rock so that her sheep can be watered. And then he introduces himself, and then it says that he kisses her And we don't know if that's on the hand or the cheek, but it was very actually then for family members to kiss on the cheek. That was very normal. So anyways, I think that that's a good example of what men will do when they're enamored with a woman. So let's go to the story. It is fun. It is very fun. So, and we all want that. So if you're not married, it's okay that you want that. It's very, God created you to desire a man to treat you that way. Yes. So I'm not against someone acting that way. It's perfectly okay. So we go on to verse 15. Jacob marries Leah and Rachel. So after Jacob had been there for a month, Laban said to him, "You shouldn't have to work without pay just because you are a relative of mine. What do you want me to give you?" And I just want to let you know I'm reading out of the Contemporary English Version. And last night was the first, probably one of the first times I read the whole piece out of this Bible. And it's a little bit different, which I think is interesting. Laban had two daughters. Leah was older than Rachel, but her eyes didn't sparkle. Now, we know that Leah, her name means wild cow. And when people were named, that's something I discussed in the Bible study, Hebrew names really meant something. So when this child was born, her parents gave her a name that was representative of her. So imagine having that label. And then there's something wrong. We know that her eyes are weak or there's something wrong. But mm-hmm. in this description, it says they don't sparkle. So whether she can't see very well, that's kind of what I think they're saying. So, but then it says, well, Rachel was beautiful and had a good figure. So right out of the gate, we know that there's one daughter that's beautiful and one that probably isn't. So since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he had an answer. If you will let me marry Rachel, I'll work 7 years with you. Laban replied, it's better for me to let you marry Rachel than for someone else to have her. So stay and work for me. Jacob worked 7 years for Laban. But the time seemed like only a few days because he loved Rachel so much. Jacob said to Laban, the time is up and I want to marry Rachel now. So Laban gave him a big feast and invited all the neighbors. But that evening he brought Leah to Jacob, who married her and spent the night with her. So I just think it was dark, and this man had waited a long time. He had saved himself a long time to not know that that was not Rachel.
Yeah.
So the next morning he figures it out, right? So yeah. We're skipping a little bit. But then he goes to Laban and says, why have you done this to me? And Laban says, well, because it's our tradition that the oldest marries first. But if you'll work another 7 years, you can marry Rachel. And so at the end of the week of marriage celebration, Jacob marries Rachel. So now he's got the two sisters as wives, and then the wives also have servants, which also become his concubines at some point. The Lord knew that Jacob loved Rachel more than he did Leah. So he gave children to Leah, but not to Rachel. I think this is interesting that even in a few paragraphs about Leah's life, that God wants us to know that he sees us. He sees, mm-hmm. And we're never far from him, regardless of what we do, regardless of how we feel. He always sees us. And so we don't know what her relationship with God is at this point. Leah gave birth to a son and named him Reuben because she said, the Lord has taken away my sorrow. Now my husband will love me more than he does Rachel. So as we go on, she names her children for reasons mostly because she thinks that God, and I think this is significant in the story, except for one son. She names her children because she thinks that God has given them to her to get her husband's favor because her sister is not bearing children.
Right.
Now,
and she's
God,
having male children, which were...
She's having male children,
which
yes.
significantly mm-hmm. important.
She only has one daughter at the end. But I think sometimes when God wants to live a life with us, we're thinking of God as God doesn't want to live under us like a jack-in-the-box God, which in this case, she's thinking God's giving me sons for revenge against my sister or to get something from my husband. That's not how God's relationship is with us. Or sometimes we think of God as living over us, which means he's punishing us for the sin that we've committed, and we could never have freedom from that. Like, I can never be free of the shame of the adultery I committed against my husband. Or our relationship could never be free of the sin of whatever has happened in your relationship. And that's just not the case. That's not the truth of Scripture. But God wants to be with us. He sees us. And everything that he does is in a perfect plan that reaches far past what we see today into eternity. And that's what we see when she bears her son, Judah. And Judah is named for, and I think it's verse 32. No, that's Reuben. Let's see, Reuben and Simon, and you'd think I'd have these all memorized. Levi. And then she had one more son named, and the fourth son. So he was Judah. And so then this was a son that she just said, I will praise the Lord. There was no expectation of God except that, you know what? My relationship with God is whole, and that's all that matters at this point. My expectation is in the Lord, not in man, not in my husband, not in the rivalry with my sister, not in what my dad did to me by putting me in that situation. Mm. And so the beautiful thing is that Jesus came from the line of Judah. It was through this woman that Jesus was born. And so God wants us to have this expectation that is so much bigger than we are thinking about, because we're wrapped up in just today. We're looking at our husband today, and we're going, you know, he is not meeting my expectation.
Right.
I was talking to a newer Christian at our church, and she has two really small children that are 10 months apart. And
wow.
She said, I have two babies at home. I don't need a third one. And so I was like, boy, I totally understand, you know. How many of us could understand that statement? So, but the thing was is, so let's say your husband is acting like a baby. If you don't feed a baby, what happens? They starve.
Yep.
So maybe he's being a baby. But as women who are becoming, we have the expectation, as you, as a person of faith, that you're becoming a mature Christian. That means there's an expectation that you are becoming more than someone who is not maturing in their faith. And so it's a hard road to go on, but the reward is great. And Leah's story shows us the eternal value. And there's more to her story I'm not going to tell you, because you can read the Bible study and you could read your Bible. But there's so much more in the end that happens in even between Jacob and Leah, and that's huge in the reward. So I just want to encourage you in that.
One of the things, Angela, that that Rebecca and I love about Leah's story is that, you know, the Bible describes her as being very real. And when you look at her story, as we started with the show, every girl dreams of getting her Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. Leah got her Prince Charming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that she didn't get his heart doesn't mean she didn't get her Prince Charming. The situation is that she didn't get his heart, you know, in the beginning. So we want to encourage every wife, if you haven't read Leah's story and you're struggling in your marriage and, you know, your husband, he's your Prince Charming. He's the man that you dreamed of marrying and you got him, and then all of a sudden you start realizing who he truly is, and there's, you know, he's changing and he's becoming a frog.
Mm-hmm.
To keep in the theme, you can pray. You can learn so much from Leah's heart. Yes, she struggles. Yes, she makes mistakes. Yes, she does the wrong thing. Yes, her heart is not where it should be. But don't we all feel that way? Don't we all have moments where our heart is wrong? Where,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we're wanting is wrong, or we're trying to manipulate to get what we want from our husbands? If we can sit here and say we can't relate to Leah, there's a problem, because some part of her story is definitely relatable to every wife. At least I feel like it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I totally agree.
No, I just think that it's so important for us to keep ourselves focused on the Lord. You know, and
yes.
as much as Leah was struggling, she was really acknowledging that the blessings that she had in these children were from the Lord. She
mm-hmm.
she wasn't really confused about where the blessings were coming from. And I think that's important for us to remember too, that in the midst of hard things, in the midst of difficult circumstances and situations, God is intimately and deeply concerned with us, and he is giving us blessings. And sometimes we have to maybe look a little harder than we'd like to find them. But
mm-hmm.
I think Leah's story, God shared, keep looking, because, and you can find your answers in Leah's story. God included Leah's story for this purpose. I feel like he did. And if we can find ourselves within our story, if we will truly, as David said, you know, search my heart, God, and reveal to me what is wrong, if there's a heart issue, as you read Leah's story, then that's going to leap at you. And take notice of that and ask God, Lord, if you're not already getting it, ask him, God, what is it that I need to see? Why am I relating to this part of her? And then God's going to reveal that to you. Repent of it and begin to walk forward, you know, and begin to see your husband as who God designed him to be instead of who you dreamed of him being. Because
mm-hmm.
the reality, when God's in it, is so much greater than the dream itself.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Sheree, I want to take us in a little bit of a different direction,
sure.
but it's related. I want to tie it back into something that we talked about near the beginning. We talked about Angela's grandmother and, you know, making
mm-hmm.
that list of characteristics and things that she desired in a husband. And you may be married and you're feeling like you don't have Prince Charming, that you've got the frog, and what is going on? This isn't the life I signed up for, right? And you think, oh, I've blown it. I've missed my opportunity to make my list. Well, I want to encourage you today that you haven't missed your opportunity
mm-hmm.
to make your list. You go to the Word of God and you start to find those things that the Word says are characteristics of a godly man, characteristics of a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you start proclaiming those things over your husband. You start praying those things in prayer and thanking God for
mm-hmm.
them, because that's what faith is asking and believing that you receive when you pray, not when you see it finally happen, but when you pray, that you believe that you receive it in that moment of prayer time in your secret place. And you
mm-hmm.
start to treat him like he is already all of those things.
Yeah.
Because that is faith in action. That's not just faith that's a nice idea that sounds good, but that's faith in action. And ladies, I'm here to tell you that I have walked through some of that personally myself with Robert, and he would tell you that. I'm not telling tales on him. But he, you know, he knew that there were things that needed to change, and he would be open with me and talking about the things that he was wrestling with in his character, that he wanted to be more Christ-like. And the Lord told me to start praying for him in those areas. Now, maybe your husband isn't going to be as transparent as mine is with me. However, God will show you in his word what he desires to have grow in your husband, and you start proclaiming those things. You start praying and trusting and acting like it's already done, and you will see God's faithfulness to you. And not that you're trying to manipulate him, because it's not going to be a conversation. It's not going to be a finger pointing, I told you, you know, you should be this, this, and this. It's a conversation between you and the Lord, activating your faith. And it's in conjunction with things that Sheree and I talk about all the time, where we make sure that we are growing and changing and letting the Lord do what he wants to do in us. But activating your faith, because your husband desires to be, if he's a believer already, he desires to be that godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's just stuck. And because you're one flesh, you have authority in prayer. Because you're a daughter of the King, you have the right to go and ask for God's will to be made manifest in your life and in the life of your husband.
That was powerful, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are a daughter of the King, you have a right to ask. You have free entrance into his throne room, and take these lists to God, submit them one by one, and ask him, Lord, bring these to pass. That was so good. My spirit just leaped all over the place when you said that.
Yeah. That was straight from the Holy Spirit. That wasn't
mm-hmm.
in my notes.
I know. Angela, I just posted in the chat room, you shared a little bit of your heart about Leah from your Bible study. I know the ladies are even more curious now to get their copy of it, and we thank you for that. We thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to be blessed by you and your time served in writing this story. How do you relate yourself to Leah? What is it about Leah's story that has really affected you in a profound way and affected your marriage?
Well, I think on a personal level, I related to Leah. I wrote probably my favorite chapter in the book of Leah and many other people's. Well, it's actually not even a chapter. It's one day in the week is about labels. And it's really at the beginning when we talk about Leah and her title of wild cow. And in the end, that changes. But growing up the way that I did, and I was quite overweight, and my parents had been divorced. My mom had been divorced a couple of times, and we had moved. And so when I was in sixth grade, we went to a new school. And they called me the fat Bible thumper because at that point I had started going to church.
Oh.
And so I think that everybody could relate to that story, because at some point in our lives we've been labeled something. So maybe it was something even, you know, worse. So whether it was slut or, you know, it can be, people are cruel. And so, or my family now, sometimes they say, you're the most pious person we've ever met, but it's not always a, you know, nice label. But it's just out of not understanding others and not accepting others. And so I think with Leah's story, I think I could relate to the weakness that she had, even though it wasn't a weakness, because we all have weakness in us. But through Christ, we have his power, and that's what I love. And so I talk about in my Bible study, I have a head injury as well, and so it's not something you can see, and so sometimes I want to put a cast on my head because I really act blonde a lot of times, and so people don't understand why she act like that. And it's because I have a head injury, so I have like the reading, you know, the education level of a seventh grader, even though I'm able to achieve high things. So labels were a big thing for me, and relating to that with Leah, I really felt that way. But I don't relate to that with my relationship, because I have an incredibly encouraging husband who really believes I could do anything and overcome anything. And so I think I'd have to think about in marriage what it would be for a minute. Does anybody else have something they could relate to, Leah?
Well, my thought is, you know, as you were going into your marriage, obviously the title, the label, that Bible thumper, really I don't want to say connected to you, but it was something that you had to work through. And I'm sorry. I read that in your story, but it's still, you know, it still affects my heart because mm-hmm. that's such a cruel name, and mm-hmm. It's not cool mm-hmm. at all. Did you, Angela, as you were getting into, you know, as you were coming into your marriage, was that one of the labels that you carried into your marriage, or were you able to lay that down? Because I know labels, you know, they affect us. Though our husbands may not see us based on our labels, we do, you know, if we're not able to overcome them.
I think the fat Bible Thumper label, which I laugh at funny things, but it, because I was young, and I actually walked away from the church because of it, because I really wanted to be liked by men, not God, at that point. And I had to try out the world. I did. I tried it on pretty good. So, I think other people probably identify with that. I really wanted to know what it would be like to be liked by a popular person. And I never had been because I had always kind of been that underdog person. And so I tried that, and that was not successful. So it's not ever going to work to go that route. And so by the time I met my husband and we got married, I was 27 when I met Mark, and we got married when we were 29. So I think that we both had matured as individuals. Things that I carried into my relationship, probably my father's adultery, I would say. As much as I didn't want to, and that's just being honest, my dad was married 4 times, but in lots of relationships. And my dad has passed away now. He passed away this past August. But I would say my expectation of who men could be was really jaded by that, mm-hmm. by watching him in relationship. And so as much as I wanted to believe that men, that not every man was that person, it does sneak up in your spirit. And I think you become very watchful of people and very cynical. And you have disbelief that a relationship can be what God says it is. So I would just encourage women that have experienced adultery in their own relationship, or maybe watched their parents divorce and go through that, that you have to really, when you have those thoughts, you have to trap them and say, I have a mind of Christ. And that has been the key for me, is to really acknowledge the thoughts that were not of God and not of his word and not for my marriage. And it's a challenge, but I have to look at my husband and say, who is he? He's not who I imagine him to be sometimes. And because all those past things come into your relationship. So I just think it's very important that you, in your relationship, are constantly measuring your thoughts next to what God's thoughts are. And then it becomes a much more positive experience.
Yes.
Wow.
So I hope I could just be straightforward with you there.
We appreciate the transparency. Go ahead, Rebecca.
You know, Cherie and I are having a little side conversation. There's a little bit more transparency for you guys. We can do a typing chat. And Cherie asked a really important question. We're looking for Prince Charming, but do we feel like Cinderella? And, mm-hmm. you know, we don't always feel like Cinderella, that beautiful woman dressed up, you know, for the fancy ball. Sometimes we feel like that Cinderella dressed in rags, scrubbing the floor, being totally abused, taken advantage of. But what happened was that redemption. You know, that's part of what we relate to as women in that Cinderella story, is that transformation from misunderstood. She was always Cinderella's father before he died, was a wealthy nobleman, and the stepmother came in and took away what was rightfully Cinderella's. And isn't that kind of what we experience as daughters of the king? We've been created by the King of Kings, and the enemy has come in and put us down and convinced us that we don't have any rights, and that all we are destined to have is hardship and difficulty and abuse. But Jesus really is the ultimate Prince Charming, isn't he? And he comes in and brings that redemption and shows us who we really are in the Lord. And that is what we need to be mindful of, that those labels that we experience, that those times of hardship and difficulty when we are treated poorly by the world, those aren't a reflection of who we really are, but they are just tools and tactics, schemes of the enemy designed to keep us from fulfilling and being, just being all that God has created us to be.
Amen. You know, I think about my own story and Angela's story and your story. All of us have a story. So, you know, like you said, Cinderella didn't start out as Cinderella, did she? She has her own story. And, you know, we all have that story, and yet God took us and he received us, you know, and in the midst of our story, as bad as it was, he received us and he changed our lives. And we're always looking for that Prince Charming that aren't married yet. But I've learned in my own marriage that God wanted to be my Prince Charming first. He is who he desired that I would latch onto, that I would, you know, take hold of, because he wanted to teach me what a husband is supposed to be like. And if I understand who my husband is supposed to be through my relationship with God, then I can choose wiser. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Angela, I did not know we were going to go this deep, girl.
Well, and I have to say that I feel so fortunate to, and I just want to tell the audience this, if you have a broken relationship with your earthly father, I believe wholeheartedly that can be healed. And you could be laughing right now, but my dad and I, and I know Sheree knows this, I am so thankful for the relationship that him and I had, and especially the last year we got to spend together. We spent many times before that, but last year when he was dying of cancer, just talking and learning more about each other intimately. And he, in the decisions that he made, never, ever wanted to hurt me. People, when they're making those decisions about life, they're thinking of themselves, and they're working out of their own path. So I am so glad that my dad and I have no hard feelings towards my dad, and I love him dearly, and I miss him. And so I was so glad that our relationship could be healed and that hopefully he saw Christ in me. So that was my only desire, that he would. So I just really, I hope for people that they will have that too, if they have an earthly father that is not the picture of the Heavenly Father, because it does make a difference. So
it does.
That's my prayer for you.
It does. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I was, I know you're getting to the end, so we can talk.
Yeah, we are.
We can chat offline.
Okay.
And they can definitely, I have a blog, and they can go on our Facebook page if they want to chat with me later, so.
All right. Well, ladies, as Angela said, we are coming to an end. If you'd like to connect with Angela, you can go to her blog at AngelaCraig.com and follow her and read her posts. She's got some great posts, not just in this area, but in leadership. You can also find her on Facebook at Angela Craig and check out her book today, The Story of Leah. You'll find it on Amazon. It is free on Kindle. If you do not have a Kindle, then Amazon does have an app you can download and then download the book to your PC so you can read it that way. Angela, we thoroughly enjoyed having you today, and we are definitely going to invite you back so we can have some more conversations. Ladies, as far as today, have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day, ladies.